הגיע הזמן. In way of an introduction, I think it should be clear that we're not going to be able to cover the Shabbos kitchen in one session. If you divide up the 39 categories of Melacha on Shabbos, probably the vast majority of Hilchos Shabbos is relevant to the kitchen. So to assume that in a short period of time we're going to cover the kitchen is ridiculous. If we can get through tonight some areas of Bishul, the laws of cooking on Shabbos, and of warming food from before Shabbos and on Shabbos, and we do that in a way which is clear, I'll be very happy. Which means that we're going to have to meet again. So we'll choose a date sometime next month. That's right. Rabbi Senderovic, when I was talking to him about the format for tonight, suggested that rather than to assume the ability to cover every shiloh which could come up in the kitchen, that I take the path of here is what we do. And if there is some variance on that, at the end of each section, we'll pause for some questions and see how that works. There's a letter from the Balatanya where the Balatanya suggests and encourages that every Shabbos we spend time studying the laws of Shabbos. He says that it's that which is obvious, that it's impossible for a person to be able to keep Shabbos unless they know the laws of Shabbos. He says many of which deal with the most serious violations, chayvei krisus, chayvei skila. And he concludes by saying that Chazal tell us, Kol Hashem Shabbos ki hilchasa, is someone who keeps the Shabbos according to its laws, Meichlin loy al kol avinoisav, has all of his sins forgiven. He says, especially in a generation such as ours, when people are weak and they don't have the ability to fast, so this is a fairly easy method to be able to acquire kaparas avinus, atonement for our avinus, is through the observance of Shabbos. The Maimon Chazal is Kol Hashem Shabbos Kihilchasai, with the stress on the Kihilchasai, he who keeps Shabbos according to its halacha, Meichlin Loi Al Kol Avinosav, will have all of their sins forgiven. Which is a pretty nice reward. We'll divide this opening section into two parts. Part number one is warming food from before Shabbos to be eaten on Shabbos. So that's to say, you're not doing anything at all on Shabbos to warm the food. This is the area of warming food from before Shabbos. In modern day, we have various appliances that have the ability to do this. I'll just name them off up front. If there's any one that I'm missing, a major appliance, please raise your hand. We have the old-fashioned blech, namely a piece of metal that covers the burners on your stove. There is a crock pot or Nescos. There is a warming tray. There is an oven interior. And there are warming drawers. I believe that covers all of the methods available currently. Next year we may have to have another class because there'll be the Shabbos microwave or something like that. Who knows? So let's go through these. Right. I mean, that's another form of a blech. Now, this subcategory is divided into two categories. There are two types of food that one can warm from Erev Shabbos for Shabbos. Those which are fully cooked already before Shabbos, and those which are not cooked from before Shabbos. Generally, this applies mostly to cholent. Most people's chicken soup is cooked before Shabbos. Some people, their cholent is not fully cooked. So let's first deal with dishes which are not fully cooked. Again, it may apply to something like a roast that you leave in your oven on time bake. So here is the halachas again. I'm talking only about food which is not fully cooked, and we're going to go through this category quickly because it's less common than the food which is fully cooked. You can place food which is not fully cooked on a blech before Shabbos. It cannot be touched or moved, covered or mixed, taken from, added to, subtracted from, until you know 100% for certain that it is fully cooked. Therefore, it is highly recommended have all of your food fully cooked before Shabbos. If you are going to, and this is the one practical application, if you're going to make cholent late Friday afternoon and it's not going to be fully cooked before Shabbos, your crock pot must be garuf v'katum. That's Aramaic. Garuf v'katum means that your crock pot or nesko needs to be completely lined on the inside with foil, and the knob needs to be either removed or covered. The inside, we're dealing with a crock pot that has an insert. So the area before you put in the insert, you take out the earthenware insert, the inside of the crock pot needs to be fully lined, and the knob needs to be covered. Again, this is if your cholent is not fully cooked. Okay? We'll get to the others in a moment. Only then can you leave an uncooked cholent, in a nesko or a crock pot.
You define fully
cooked? Edible. Something you would serve your four-year-old. No. Nobody would feed their four-year-old food today, kamachal ben derso. There is. Then it's not what?
If my child is on the stove and it's only been cooking for 5 minutes, that's not a third cook.
True. Okay. Therefore.
I just didn't know if that
right. That would not fall into that category. There are numerous other applications. There's a way that involves putting in raw meat immediately before Shabbos. We're never going to get anywhere. Have your cholent edible before Shabbos, you'll be much safer. If it's not going to be, see to it that the inside of the crock pot is lined and that the knob is either covered or removed. Warming trays, there are two types of warming trays. There are warming trays which have knobs, make it adjustable warmth, and warming trays that don't have adjustable temperature. If your warming tray does not have the ability to be adjusted, you can leave food on there without covering it. If it is an adjustable tray, you need to cover the knob and cover the tray.
What do you mean,
cover it with foil or with blech?
Do you mean like a plug-in electric skillet?
A skillet that could cook. I'm talking about a warming tray, not a skillet. These are called warming trays.
Okay. Again, we're still talking about...
This is uncooked food which is not fully cooked. If it's not cooked, if your warming tray does not have a knob, it does not need to be covered, which means basically it doesn't require a blech. If it does have a knob, the knob needs to be covered and the tray needs to be covered. Right. Warming drawers. I was just about to say, if you're putting uncooked food in your warming drawers, please do not invite me for your soup. Right. It's not your. Who are you? What are you serving? You're going to poison somebody. Let's go to the more practical thing of fully cooked food. Will it affect it? I have no idea. If, let's go to the more practical application. We'll slow down here. Yes. I'm talking about even the walls.
You're talking about inside the crock pot itself has to be.
Right. There is, the crock pots are made, the ones with the removable inserts are made, the insert comes out, there are the walls of the crock pot and the floor. The whole thing needs to be lined because there are elements within the walls of the crock pot as well. Let's go on to the more practical application. I ran through it because it really is not, it's not that common. When food is fully cooked, fully edible from before Shabbos, the way to, the methods to warm it again, you can leave it on your blech from before Shabbos. You can put the food in a crock pot. Again, the best way to, if, even if your chont is fully cooked, it would be best for you to line it and to cover the knob. If you're putting your chont on, pay attention please carefully. If your chont is fully edible before Shabbos, and you don't have bachurim in the house who raid the chont on Friday night, meaning, no one is going to tamper with that chont until Shabbos morning, or Shabbos afternoon if you daven here. Then, you do not need to line the crock pot. That's only if the chont is fully cooked. And the reason I'm stressing that it's best to line it anyway is because people have very different definitions, especially with chont, about what fully cooked means. And therefore, you're best off always lining the crock pot before Shabbos. There are going to be side benefits in case a bachur does appear at your house. And they're going to want to take chont, or there's at least going to be a way to take chont on Shabbos before you're going to serve it. Warming trays, obviously, if you put the turn your warming tray on from before Shabbos, you could put food down on the warming tray before Shabbos that's been fully cooked for either the Friday night meal or the Shabbos morning meal. Oven interiors. Okay, this is a very sensitive area. Yes?
So you're saying if it's fully cooked and it's a warming tray, then you don't have to put anything.
Oh, very good. Again, a warming tray with a knob. At least the knob should be covered. Preferably, the warming tray should have a sheet of foil over it as well.
Are you saying you can't put food on Saturday morning?
I didn't say that at all. I'm not talking about that yet. We'll get there. We'll get there. Now I'm dealing still before Shabbos, preparing before Shabbos. We'll get to that as well. If I don't, please remind me. Let's talk about oven interiors. Oven interiors add an additional dimension to the problem. And that is that when you open an oven on Shabbos, cold air rushes into the oven and triggers a reaction from the thermostat. So, if you want to use your oven interior, many of us do, you take your fully cooked foods, you put them in the oven from before Shabbos. Again, they need to be fully cooked. If the food is not fully cooked, you cannot use your oven in any which way. Unless you custom build for yourself an insertion box to be put into the oven and then put the food into that box. I've never heard of anybody doing it. Okay? So if your food is not fully cooked, you can't put a roast in late Shabbos afternoon with the assumption of the fact that you'll take it out Friday night because it will have been done. Late Friday afternoon, right. That doesn't work. But let's say fully cooked food. You put in your kugels, you put in your chicken soup, you put in all of the Friday night foods into your oven, set your oven on 200 degrees, and you want to be able to take it out for your Friday night meal. Best way to do it is to have some kind of timer mechanism. Either the time bake that's on the oven, or if you have an electric oven, you could put the whole oven on a timer. If you don't have a timer like that, you could put your whole kitchen on a timer. Some people wire the entire house. That's fine. Okay, you can time the oven so that when you open your oven, you don't have to be concerned with the fact that the thermostat's going to kick in because the electricity going to the oven is already out. Therefore, you can open the oven and take out your food. For those of us who do this, we all know that mistakes happen. And what happens if it's a hectic Friday afternoon? You put the food in the oven, you set the temperature, and you come on Friday night, oy vey, I forgot to set the time bake. So the oven is still running. First thing you know is that your food is dried out. So you want to get that oven off as soon as possible. If you have access to a non-Jew, you can hint to them that you forgot to turn off the oven. They could turn it off and you can open the oven. Okay, that would be method number one. Method number two is if your oven has a light that tells you when the element or the flame is on, so that you don't need to be concerned with the fact that by your opening the oven, the cold air is going to go in and trigger the thermostat to make the fire go on. You can open the oven when it's on and remove everything at once. So if you're removing your soup, take everything else out at the same time. Everything's got to come out at once. If you don't have a light, you then need to rely on sound. The click. In an electric oven, it's a click. In a gas oven, it's a hiss. You have everybody leave the house, and you listen to your oven. And when the flame goes on, you take out the food. If there is no way, either it's very, very cold outside, and you can't send everybody out of the house, or you just can't, you can't hear it, open the oven, stand there ready with your mittens on, get the food out, and close the oven. No. No, that's a very good point. You cannot take food from the oven and put it on the black. Well, that's not true of all foods, but that doesn't really go into the category of warming from before Shabbos. We'll deal with that when we get to Shabbos.
Why can't you wait for the oven to come down a second time and move something different?
There are poskim that do allow that. I'm not recommending it.
What about the time bake that beeps when it shuts off the oven? Is that okay?
That's fabulous. That's the best. No, it's great. Beeping ovens are great. As long as they stop. Right. Let's talk about warming drawers. If you put your food in before Shabbos into the warming drawer to warm the food for the Friday night meal, there's disagreement among the poskim as to whether or not you need to take the food out all at once from the warming drawer. Many recommend that you're dealing still with the same issue of thermostats going on. If you look at the Star K website, they will tell you that you need to take out all the food at once from your warming drawer on Shabbos. According to that opinion, you certainly cannot put food into your warming drawer on Shabbos at all.
Ever
on Shabbos.
Ever on Shabbos.
Right.
Like next day in the fridge.
Right. According to the opinions, and I spoke to a Pesach today who does allow it, Of the opinions that you could put food into your warming jar on Shabbos. Obviously, you don't need to take the food out all at once if you can put it in there on Shabbos. We'll get back there. I still need to do some research into warming jars.
Does it matter what type of warming jar?
I don't think so. It has to do with the sensitivity of the thermostat.
Then let's see if having a warming jar, if you can't put anything in. I know it has to be solid foods and things like that, but if you can't put it in on Shabbos.
Because you could put it in before Shabbos. You have another place to warm food from before Shabbos. I am not issuing a psak on it yet. Okay. Assuming that your food is fully cooked, and we're now going to take the food off of whatever source it was on. Now we're coming to serve the food on Friday night. There are halachas which restrict what happens with that food once it has been removed, and that deals with the laws of cooking rather than the laws of warming, and we'll get to that later. I just want to share with you an example that happened. I was in someone's home last week, and after the meal, there was a large bowl of chicken soup, a serving bowl, and the soup obviously had been taken off the blech, and it was now after the meal, and they wanted to consolidate everything and put it away. They took the bowl with the chicken soup, and they were about to pour it back into the chicken soup pot. Now, the pot was off the fire. Cannot do that. You cannot take food that's been already in a second or third utensil and put it back into the original utensil.
Even if it's totally
cool. You eat one long meal.
if
it's room temperature, yes, you are allowed to return it there. But if it's still Yad Saled Display, if it's 130, 140, 150 degrees, you cannot pour your soup back in there.
If it's cold now, the meal now is cold.
I guess it depends on the size of the pot. Okay. We'll get back to that. That deals with the laws of Bishul.
Okay.
Yes.
Okay, so you want to get back to that?
Yeah, we'll get back to the laws of Bishul. I want to get back to stay focused on warming food. What happens if you did? Now we're finished with Friday night. Everybody's satisfied to go to sleep. Wake up tomorrow morning. Now we need to worry about the Shabbos day meal. So, if you're using a traditional blech, most of this was already taken care of from before Shabbos, meaning your cholent pot's on the blech, your cholent is cooking. If you want to warm something up on your blech, now here we have to go into the laws of Bishul a little bit. And that is that there are two main categories of food. There are solids and there are liquids. We're not dealing with gases. Different category. It is prohibited to warm liquid, cold food on Shabbos. Period. End of statement. There is no method to warm chicken soup on Shabbos. There's no method to warm cold cholent unless your cholent is a solid. We've had that before. And then it's prohibited because it has no use. It's muktzah. Any food, solid or liquid, which is not fully cooked, you cannot at all get involved with any way of warming it better. Just a practical example, you have a blech, you have a flame in the front, a flame here, a flame there. You want to take your cholent pot, which is not 100% cooked, you see that it's not bubbling the way you wanted it to, or boiling is what people call it, right? So you want to move it closer to the flame. To Nisa Daraisa. Don't move it. If it works, it works. If not, go to a neighbor. Don't move something closer on Shabbos if it's not fully cooked.
But if it's fully cooked.
Wait, we'll get to there. So first thing that has to be stated is if a food is not fully cooked, do not get involved in any which way in warming it. Sometimes there's even a kugel that can use some more cooking. You took it off too early. And if you put it even on top of a cooking pot, of a boiling pot, which generally is permissible, but if it's going to finish its cooking, it's an issur d'oraisa, it's a biblical prohibition. Don't do it. Make sure whatever it is that you're going to warm on Shabbos is fully cooked. We'll get to that. It has runoffs. Okay. Fully cooked food, solids may be rewarmed in a permissible manner, which we will get to. Liquids cannot be rewarmed. There is no way of warming liquids in a permissible manner. Let's deal with dry foods. For the purpose of conversation, we will talk about potato kugel. You want to warm potato kugel for the Shabbos day meal. So let's go through our choices. Oven interiors are absolutely prohibited. There is no way, timer or no timer, there is no way to put food in an oven on Shabbos to be warmed for the Shabbos meal. If it happens, there's a good chance that food is forbidden to be eaten. Okay? There's no way of doing it. Secondly, it is prohibited to put food on a blech on Shabbos. A blech which is on top of your stovetop. You cannot warm food on your blech on Shabbos. Directly on the blech, yes. Anywhere directly on the blech. However, and here, our minig is to allow a person who has a blech on Shabbos to put food on top of a utensil which is on the blech. Whether that utensil has food in it or does not have food in it. So you can invert a cookie sheet, you can invert a pot, or you could take your regular cholpot, which is cooking there anyway, just practical aitza, flip the lid, and put your kugel on the back side of the lid. It can warm there on Shabbos. Dry kugel. Let me just finish the thought. If you don't have something cooking there, then invert a cookie sheet, invert some other pan, and put your kugel on top of that pan to warm it.
How much space?
Now this is a stovetop only.
Stovetop. Blech. Traditional blech.
Not even away from the fire.
Nowhere on the blech. You know what? Let me qualify that. If you don't want your kugel hot, if your kugel cannot become hot, not just the top of it, but the bottom of it, off completely in the other corner where it cannot become hot, you could put your kid there if you want. you can't put it in a place. That's fine. Yeah, you can put it there.
So you
can
put it.
If it cannot become, meaning, even if you were to forget it there for 12 hours, it can't become hot. Let's stay only with blechs.
So, can that just be a flat thing, or does it have to be something that's raised?
It has to be raised. Right. No, a piece of tin foil doesn't work. That's just having two blechs. Yeah.
You know what we used to do with the Tracy cook casserole restaurant things? Filled it with water, and it had a lid, and we put food on top of that, because the water was also something that could be used later when we were told that.
It's great. Right. So basically, it's a traditional double boiler. We'll get to only blechs.
Okay.
Blechs only.
Okay.
Yes.
But on double boiler, it's called the traditional double boiler. That would have to be put on before Shabbos.
Yes. Yes. Yeah.
The double boiler is double boiler, the upper pot is in the lower pot.
That's okay. It's fine if it dips. Yeah. Right. We'll get to the different types of food. This is for dry foods only.
Not baked.
Even baked foods.
No, not
baked. Even challah. Yeah. Okay. Let's go to the shayla with on top of a crock pot. A crock pot, halachically speaking, is basically a pot which is on a blech, provided that your crock pot was lined and the knob was removed. If it's not lined and removed, then it's not a blech. Then it was done in a way that you really, the only thing you could do is take the chont out of it. So again, you could use the top of your crock pot. If the crock pot was lined and the knob was removed, then you could put stuff on top of the crock pot.
Does that include one-piece units?
I don't know what to do with the one-piece units.
There's so many things.
The one-piece units just have a flat bottom. You put foil over that and take off the knob. Or cover the knob. Right.
No, but there are some that do not have removable stone linings. Those are called one-piece units also.
I don't know how you would make it garuf v'katum from before Shabbos. Mia, you wanted to say something. They will not help you warm food on Shabbos. If you want to see their use, the best way is go to the Star K website. Tells you exactly how you can make use of those for Shabbos and Yontif. It's most, the benefit for those is usually on Yontif, not on Shabbos.
But
when
you open up your oven, it doesn't go on
automatic. Oh, so there could be benefit for taking out food.
Right.
But it's not going to help you. It won't help you for putting food into it on Shabbos. Yeah. Well, we'll get to the. You can't put something where, and then cover it with what kind of top?
Let's say you take your water, your
hot right.
water, you take off the top.
Uh huh.
And it's about, let's say 6 inches, like a 6-inch circle or 8-inch, and so your pan is bigger. Your cooked pan might be bigger.
I think you'd have to put it on the top and not over the water, but on the top of the pot. Flip the lid and put it on top.
Can you put a sheet of aluminum
foil? Yeah.
And then you could put it on
right.
instead of on the lid because
right.
most lids are
well, it's
curved.
A plastic and they're curved.
So you
that's a good. You could take that off, put on a piece of foil, put on a piece of tin, and put whatever you want on top of the percolator.
And you can
percolator.
Do that on Shabbos?
You could do that on Shabbos. Why not?
Because you're uncovering tomorrow? You're uncovering.
It's not going to be on tomorrow.
It's not a problem.
Dry solid foods only. All right, we're going to get to it in a minute. Again, the only time you're allowed to do anything with the lid of your crock pot is if your chont is completely and fully cooked.
What about your water?
Same thing with water. If your water is not fully cooked. Right. That's what we're talking about. I'm I don't know that it needs a breath.
Do you know what I'm
talking
about? All right. I'm not 100% sure about the urn. I don't see why it would be prohibited, but before you do it, let me check into it. Okay? For sure, by the way, if you're not doing anything with the lid, you're for sure allowed to do it on top of the percolator. The question is if you're putting it where the lid usually is. Yes? Not necessarily, because there's no other way of doing it. We're going to get to Hagosa soon, maybe. On warming trays. Again, here is a machlekes among the poskim. You want to take your potato kugel and put it on a warming tray on Shabbos morning. There are, again, this is a machlekes. Our minig is to place dry foods on a warming tray on Shabbos, provided that if it is one that's adjustable, that the knob is covered and the warming tray is covered, you could take dry food and put it directly on the warming tray on Shabbos. Dry food, fully cooked, out of the fridge. How it's different than a blech? You want the technicalities? You want the deeper understanding? Huh? There's a very simple difference. A warming tray warms food. A blech cooks food. That's the technical difference is that.
So you just said that if the warming tray was, the knob was covered.
Knob is covered and there's a piece of foil over the tray. You could take cold food out of your fridge and put it on the warming tray. Same thing. Warming trays without knobs you can put on directly. You don't have to cover it. You could take the Kogel without any foil around and put it straight down on your warming tray.
You don't have to worry where you put it on.
Does not make a difference. Anywhere in the warming tray. It's a warming tray. Not a skillet. Warming tray. Yes, you can put it anywhere on the warming tray. Don't touch it.
Right. Which makes it hard to put things on. On Shabbos, you can remove that top.
As long as your crock pot is lined and the knob is covered, you can invert the top and put stuff on it.
Or you could put a piece of aluminum foil.
Yes.
That's okay.
Yeah.
You do not have to remove that crock pot before you take the top off because it's on the element. Like if you have your pot.
I know what you're referring to.
On the left, aren't you supposed to remove the pot?
Before what? Or you're supposed to move it to a cooler area. You can't really do that with a crock pot. I mean, you could lift it. You need two people to do it. We'll get to that in a minute. Yeah. It's a warming tray. It's a warming tray. Huh? You can't look like you're cooking on a warming tray. Nobody's accusing you of insanity. On a blech, where the suspicion is you're cooking, it could look like you're cooking. You don't cook on a warming tray.
So if the warming tray doesn't have a temperature adjuster, then on Shabbos you don't need to put the inverted cookie sheet.
That is correct. Right. The warming drawers for warming dry foods on Shabbos, again, I spoke to a Pesach today who said that it's not a problem. I would like to do a little bit more research into the thermostats of the warming trays. Not warming tray, warming drawers.
Yeah.
You're asking kashrus questions on Shabbos? I would say that you could. You should probably, you'd need to cover it. Yeah, right. Okay. We need to, let's move on to some of the Bishul details. If you want to take Cholent on Shabbos, okay? If you want to take Cholent on Shabbos, again, we need to go back to some of the applications. If your Cholent is on the blech, you have two choices. First, let's deal with, there are conditions to be able to take off either the chicken soup or a Cholent. Some people want to have chicken soup the next day, they can't tolerate Cholent. They want to have chicken soup for the Shabbos day meal. So you want to be able to serve your chicken soup Friday night, and be able to eat it again Shabbos day. One should not serve directly from a pot which is on the fire or in the crock pot. Okay? That shouldn't be done. So what do? There are five conditions which allow a person to take a pot and return it back to the fire from whence it came. Right, right. Well, it's going to be very difficult once I say the five conditions. Condition number one always is the food has to be fully cooked. If your chicken soup is not fully cooked, the cholent is not fully cooked, and you decide to be brave Friday night, you take the cholent off, you want to serve some cholent, and you discover that it's half raw, you're out of business. I recommend you go eat, since it's usually a man doing this, find yourself somewhere else to eat tomorrow, because you're in big trouble. Number two, you can only return something to a blech or to a flame, which is covered halachically in the way that would allow you to put something down on it on Shabbos. So the knob has to be covered, the flame has to be covered, right? If those two things are met, then the next condition is that when you took it off, you have to have in mind that you're going to be putting it back. And finally, you can't put it on the floor. Now, generally, most of us don't put pots down on the floor anyway. But what that means is you can't put it down in a permanent way, even on the counter. So, you want to serve cholent Friday night. Let's deal with the most practical question. Your cholent, you put it up early Friday morning. Your cholent is fully cooked. You want to take some cholent out Friday night. Well, let's first deal with the blech. You take your blech. Now, on a blech, you have an advantage, because the blech has areas which are more hot and less hot. You can move it off the flame and take cholent when it's off the flame and then slide it back onto the flame. If your blech is not that big, you don't have pariv and very hot areas on your blech, then you need to take the cholent pot, have one person hold it, have a second person dish out whatever cholent you're taking out of it. If you can't do that, because there is no other person, or that other person refuses to be party to your taking cholent on Friday night, then the way to deal with it is to take the cholent pot and hold it on the edge of the counter in such a way that if you were to let go, your cholent would be all over the floor, so that you really never put it down. It's only by the merit of your hand that that cholent is staying. And you don't have to test it. Just feel comfortable with the fact that the majority of it is off the counter. You're not allowed to mix it, scoop up whatever cholent you want to serve, and put the cholent pot back on the blech. The same applies to the crock pot if it is lined and the knob is covered. Meaning you could take the insert out, lean it on the edge of the table, and put it back. This is hard to imagine, but it's probably more in the case of where you have an older person who can't eat soup, let's say, or can't eat cholent Shabbos day. They need the chicken soup for the next day. So, in that case, what happens if you can't manage? Either it's a very big pot, you can't manage to take it off, and it's fully cooked. B'shas hadchak, in a time of great need, take some soup off the top, be careful not to mix it, and serve the person and leave the soup on the blech. Or leave the cholent. You know, with cholent, it's hard. You can't really create a situation of desperation. I have to have cholent Friday night. So those are the conditions that allow a person to return. Now, when we were newlyweds, I once decided to be helpful in the kitchen. We were just the two of us eating. And of course, I wanted to get up and be helpful, so I took the pot off the blech, put it on the counter, opened the lid, got ready to serve the soup on Friday night, and I had taken off the cholent. In a case of error, in a case where a mistake like that happens, you are allowed to return the pot to the blech. Or, if you forgot yourself for a moment, and when you had the pot on the ledge there, on the edge, you pushed it on by mistake for a moment, and then let go and forgot, you can put it back. It has to be burning hot. Obviously, you know, you didn't leave it there for an hour. It has to still be burning hot, yad salad is boy, and all the other conditions have to be met. And that's why, obviously, if you want to have soup Shabbos morning, you decide with great Messias Nefesh that you're going to stand and hold the pot all night long and then put it back Shabbos morning. That's not going to work, because it has to still be...
We
I'm telling you, you should have your hand on it. If you forgot, it doesn't prevent you from putting it back. Yeah. Not on the flame. On the flame covered by a blech. Right. Absolutely not. In fact, on your blech, if you're in the mood, you could spend Friday night moving pots around all night long. Provided that the spots that you're moving it to are hot. You can't move it to the back of the blech where there is no heat. Yes, you can. Not if it wasn't on the flame. Meaning, if there was a very practical example. You have one flame burning, you have your soup there, you have your chont there. The soup is directly on the flame, it's very, very hot. The chont is right next to it. It's hot, but it's not boiling as much. You're allowed to move your pot over Friday night after you take off the soup. You should not serve while it's still on the flame.
Even though the warming tray is not considered.
Right. You should not serve neither soup nor chult directly out of the crock pot or directly out of the soup when it's on the flame. You should take it off for serving because invariably when you serve, you mix. And mixing is considered assisting in the cooking on Shabbos. Yes. What if it's fully cooked? Yes, you can. Once it's off the stove, there's no iser megas.
You can take a
right. If you're not putting, you're not putting it back on the blech. No problem. Mix to your heart's content.
Does it have to be the person who's taken it off the blech? If I say I have in mind to take it off the blech.
You want to pass it around before you get it back to the blech.
No, like say I'm serving, but then I keep my hand on it, and I need my other hand.
Yes.
And just hold on to it. Yes. And then serve.
Yes. As long as it hasn't been put down. It's not you, it's the pot.
Okay.
It's the pot that counts. Again, a practical example. You wake up Shabbos morning and you discover, to your great horror, that the liquid of your chont has evaporated. I'm sure it's never happened to any of you, but it happens to me all the time. What can be done to save the chont? It's one of the great movements after saving the whales. It's... What can be done to save the chult? So there's a very fascinating halacha. And that is, let me just give you the one extreme and then we'll go to the other extreme. Let's say you have on your blech, you have a what we call a chaynik, a teapot, and a chult pot. They're both boiling pots. So we understand that you can pour from one into the other. Right? That should be understood. Again, due to the fact that when you pour, you mix, you should move it off the flame or put it on the edge. Or if you can't do that, because it's hard to juggle this many things at once, pour slowly. Despite the great urge of saving the chont, pour it into the pot slowly so that you're not doing a whole lot of mixing. That's the absolute dry halach. Here's the chiddush. If you have a percolator, and your percolator is on that side of the kitchen, and your chont, your crock pot's on that side of the kitchen, how do you get one to the other? The chiddush of the halacha is, take a utensil, a dry utensil. Do not put it down. Put water from the percolator into the utensil, and you're allowed to pour it into the chont.
That's not on the fire.
Preferably not on the fire. Again, if you don't have a choice, picture this. You have your Nesco full of chult, right? You want to take it out, because everybody else in the house is sleeping. You want to take it out and get over to your percolator to get water out while you're holding on with one hand as this is on the edge of your thing, right? And get water into your thing. It's not practical. So the only etzah then is to pour very slowly or to get a second person. get a second person to hold the chont while you get the water, but do not put the cup down. You put the cup down with the hot water in it, it can no longer be put into the chont. Yes. If it's fully cooked and it's the walls, the insert is covered. It preferably should be held by a second person or by yourself if you can do this juggling act and get it over to the place on the cat and somehow get the percolator water to go with your one hand and get the water in without burning the house down. It's not going to help if it's... That's a good point. If you could take the insert out, take the insert out, take it to your percolator, put it beneath the percolator while still holding on to it. You have one hand on the insert, one hand on the percolator. The problem with many percolators is the spigot is lower than the insert of the crock pot. So unless you put your percolator on either on the edge, which is going to make it hard to put the thing under, or on phone books.
Can you move the percolator?
You shouldn't move your percolator. Karen raises another issue. If the vapors from the chont come up to your spigot, you can easily turn your percolator into a fleshig. So the best way is to use another utensil. I want to touch on one other area which many people are not aware of. And it's called Hatmana. And here's the halacha with Hatmana. Hatmana means to bury. Once upon a time, when a person wanted to keep food warm, there were certain natural materials that kept food warm. Sesame, sand, and various other things. So people used to bury their chont pots inside of various things. The practical application today, of course, is summertime when the air conditioning is broken. You don't want to leave the blech on because it's going to make the house impossible. So what you want to do is take your food, make it hot, and bury it. Quilts, towels, sleeping bags. Sleeping bags are great for keeping your food warm. So here's the halacha. And the reason I'm mentioning it is because many people use this in combination with warming trays. Warming trays generally do not keep, especially large amounts of food, very hot. So what you do is you stack up your warming tray with lots of things, especially if you're making a simcha, and then you take blankets or towels, and you put it over everything so that everything beneath it stays warm. You're not allowed to do that, not only on Shabbos, but you're not allowed to do that on Erev Shabbos. And here is how it flows. If there is a heat source, underneath the food, blech, crock pot, whichever one you want, it's plugged in, there's heat there, then you're not allowed to cover it completely, even on Erev Shabbos. If there is a heat source, it cannot be completely covered, even on Erev Shabbos. If there is not a heat source, meaning you took all your food, you warmed it up, it's now boiling, and then you want to put it in under blankets on Friday for Shabbos, that you could do. If there's no heat source, you could cover it as much as with as many things as you want and keep it warm for Shabbos.
Just cover completely.
I'll get to that in a second. On Shabbos itself, you can't cover it completely even if there is no heat source. So if one of the kids came home really hungry, Shabbos, and they didn't want to wait till you came home from shul, they decided to take some chol, then I'll just cover it up and it'll stay warm till the Suda. It's, you cannot do that. If you take a look at the percolator here in the back, we have a beautifully custom tailored doggy sweater for the percolator, because none of them keep the water hot enough. That is prohibited if it completely covers the percolator. The answer to all of these things is leave some open space. Leave a corner open. and then you're okay. So again, practically speaking, Shabbos morning, you take kugel out of the fridge. You want to warm it up. You put it on top of the pot. You know that that's not going to be enough. So you take, go to the laundry chute. You take out a towel. And you put it on top of the kugel. Don't cover it completely. Leave a small space open. And then it's okay. No. No, 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 no. That's fanatical. Yeah, there are some, by the way, who say, not only do you want to hear how some people, how far some people take the issue of Atmana, some Peskim say that a lot of people take kishka or potato kugel, and they put it into the chont on Erev Shabbos to cook in the pot. They say you got to open part of the foil in there. Most Peskim say that the reason you're putting it in foil is not to keep the warmth. The reason here is to keep the warmth. You're not keeping the warmth of that piece of potato kugel. You don't want it to lose its identity to the chont. That's why you're putting it in foil. And that for the same reason, you don't have to, generally speaking, when we wrap something in foil, it's not necessarily to keep the heat in, it's so that it doesn't get all over the place.
When you're saying leave the space open, do you mean I have my pot on there, I need to leave a part of my pot open, or I need to leave a part of the warming tray uncovered?
Part of the pot.
Okay.
You have five things. You have to leave like corners, if you have one big towel, you have to leave corners.
Right. Okay, perfect. Pots themselves don't count. A pot cover is not hatmana. We're talking about things that you put over the lids. Okay, that the pot itself is not, it does not count. If you're covering with foil because of the warmth, then you have a problem. If the purpose of it, if you're putting on a second level of foil because you want it to keep the warmth inside, you should leave a corner of that second layer of foil open. If that's your intention when you're wrapping it, is for the purpose of warmth, you should leave it open. Yeah. If, again, if the purpose of covering it, that depends on what the purpose of, I guess that whoever told you that thought that the purpose of covering things in foil is to keep the warmth inside. Let's deal a little bit with some other issues in cooking on Shabbos. There are basically three levels of intensity of cooking. Maybe there's four, or sometimes there's five. The most intense is a pot which is on the fire. It's called a kli rishon ala esh. After that is a kli rishon, a first utensil, meaning the pot that was on the fire, but after it was taken off the fire, so it's now on your countertop, or on your stovetop, which is not on. Then there's that which is poured from the pot into the plate, called irui kli rishon. Then there's something called the second utensil, and then there's a third utensil. Why is this important? So it doesn't have to be, but it could be. For example, if for some reason you decide not to use a ladle to dispense your soup into the plates, but rather to pour directly from the pot into your plates, there cannot be anything uncooked, or for that matter, there can't be anything baked in the plate. So using a ladle has benefits. Okay? There are poskim who say that if you don't use a ladle, it could be prohibited, according to many, to put challah into your soup, or to put croutons that are not fried, baked croutons, into your soup. So you're best off using a ladle and not leaving the ladle linger in the soup. Don't leave your ladle linger. Say that several times fast. Why? Because then it becomes like the soup pot itself as far as the intensity of heat.
Even if it's off the fire?
Yeah.
Unless it's a plastic plate.
How long is it lingering?
Oh, that's interesting. I mean, if you're dishing out soup, it's in the long pauses. You've taken in 6 bowls of soup, you leave the ladle sitting in the soup, you now come back and do it. Now, again, it's not going to be relevant to cook noodles. It's not going to be relevant to knedlach. All those things have been cooked already, and it's not a problem to rewarm them. So most soup nuts are fried. Heavy cholesterol. Yeah. That's what Karen said, that they don't absorb heat at all. So it could be that they don't, you know, it's not a problem. I haven't seen that distinction. Again, it's not relevant unless you're really putting baked goods into your soup. Let me give you the most practical, relevant application of this. You serve salad, and you have on your plate the various things that come out of salad. They have not been scientifically studied yet, but it has been proven that after salad has been on your plate, there's other stuff that remains on the plate, sometimes particles of vegetables. You then go ahead and you serve your cholent on the same plate. Now, cholent has a whole different quality in that, due to the fact that it's solid pieces of stuff, it may be able to cook even after it's been in a ladle and in another plate. Hence, there is an invention called the salad plate. And it really is halachically sound to use a salad plate, because you don't have to worry about your kugel, you don't have to worry really about eggs, but things which have not yet been cooked, whose remnants are on the plate, and then you put other very hot things on the plate, you can end up cooking those things inadvertently, and there's nothing either halachically or even from the standpoint of taste worse than cooked lettuce. Let's go back to the issue of liquid and solid. Said that it's forbidden to recook cooked liquids on Shabbos. So you want to warm up chicken. You want to warm up cold cuts. You want to warm up, what else has... Now, meat. Roast beef. To what degree does a person need to go to remove whatever remnants of liquids are left there? And then you have one Shabbos where you're really, really from. You scrape off all the meat, you put your meat on there, and you come back 20 minutes, the thing is full of liquid. So one thing is for certain, liquid which is absorbed in the food and oozes out afterwards is not a problem. Okay, that alleviates all the guilt. That's not an issue. To whatever degree possible, a person should see to it to get off the gelled stuff that's on the meat. You don't need a microscope. You don't need a magnifying glass. Scrape off the gelled stuff and put it on top of the pot. Who just asked that? Didn't think of that. Question was an excellent question. What about borer?
Well, normally
it doesn't work. Take the good, you know, scrape, you get the meat off the gravy. What? It is really. You can't have it at the suud if you're not going to warm it. It doesn't heat instantly. So if you're not going to warm it now, you're not going to have it at your suud. So with regard to that, it is for immediate use. I haven't seen anybody say that. I mean, if you shake the meat, that's what I'm saying. Then you're taking the good from the bad. That's the best way to do it.
So you don't have to worry about that getting liquidy?
You do.
Why would that be foolish?
No, it's because it's perfection. It's stuck to it.
I
would like to. I would like to further look into the gravy crisis with regard to Bora. I think that requires further clarification. Oh, so that's the best way is to make your kitchen gravy free before Shabbos. Right. While it's still warm, don't put it back in the gravy. Right. That's the best way of dealing with it. Why didn't I think of that? It bothers me.
Frozen solid, and you can put it on top.
Yes. Yes. There is no distinction halachically between refrigerated food and frozen food. As long as it's fully cooked, you can warm frozen food on top of a pot just as you can refrigerated food. There's ice in it?
Yeah, sure.
There's natural ice. That's not. It's absorbed. It's not a problem. Sandy was about to say
something liquid in it
is not a problem. That's you have to use judgment with something which is inherently very, very wet. That it could be considered a liquid. I'm not sure. I don't know. Bum 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 bum. No, but I think it couldn't hurt. It couldn't hurt, but I don't think it's necessary. I'll make the problem much worse for you. If you take off the cover of your pot to check if your chult is burning, has enough liquid, and it's not cooked, you can't cover your pot. It's curtains for the chult. Huh? That's fine. Yes. Not cooked, you can't cover it. I don't think you should move your percolator on Shabbos. Except for the spigot part of it. Yes. No, it's not an issue. Even with pot covers, there are those who say, like, if you take off your soup pot cover, put it on the counter to serve your soup, and you want to cover it right away, you have cats in your kitchen, or something, you want to cover the pot right away, and the cover has cooled. There's a as to whether or not you need to dry the cover before you put it back. I will tell you that there are people. You talk about the chef ladle, the ladle that you take from the soup, that who leave, if they take the ladle out and set it on the counter and it cools, will dry the ladle every time before they put it back in the soup pot to take out a new bowl of soup. Most places can agree that that's not necessary. Or, a much more practical application is for the coffee addicts among us. You're drinking a coffee, you finish your first coffee, you've got your favorite coffee mug, you only drink out of your own coffee mug, you now want to refill your coffee, do you have to dry it out from the other thing? Most places can say to shake it out, you do not need to dry it out. If you had cold water from the sink in there that was never cooked before, then there are some places can say that you should dry it. Even there are many places can say shaking it out is enough, you don't need to dry it. But certainly if the thing you had before there was coffee, hot water which was cooked, milk which was cooked, you don't have to dry the cup out before you. If you're pouring directly from the pot, I would. But if you're using a ladle, you for sure do not need to. You could do it even straight out of the pot. If you want, for people who use a kli shlishi anyway, many people when they make coffee, let's talk about that for a moment. The correct way to make coffee on Shabbos. First of all, it is our custom not to use tea bags on Shabbos, even in a kli shlishi. Okay? With regard to coffee has been, the way they make instant coffee is they first make real coffee, then they let it sit out for a few weeks and it crystallizes. Actually, they do it with heat. Okay, but it's all made by cooking. Sugar has been cooked. Milk has been cooked. All the ingredients going into your coffee have been cooked. Nonetheless, don't pour directly from the spigot of the percolator or from your chinic into the coffee. Pour it into a utensil and then add the coffee. For those who want to feel extra from, take the water, pour it from one utensil into another utensil, and then add the milk and the coffee and the sugar. What?
Let's say you want to leave a cup near your hot water. So you use it already, you pour water in it, then you take in that water, pour it in another cup. And then 5 minutes have gone by, 10 minutes have gone by. Does that cup that you want to use to pour your water from your urn, does it have to be completely dry?
You should shake it out. It doesn't have to be completely dry. No. If it depends what it is. If it is roasted coffee grinds, then you can't cook after roasting. You're not allowed to cook after roasting. And the way coffee is made is it's dry roasted. And then you cook it. So that wouldn't work. If it's only... No, it those are dry coffee grounds. You can't do it.
What seasoning considered?
Very good. Okay, good. This is a big issue. Spices on Shabbos is a very big issue. If it's going into a liquid, and the liquid is in a kli sheni, so salt you're allowed to add. Salt is not a problem because salt has already been cooked. But many spices have been ground and not cooked. And in a kli shlishi, you're allowed to have the bigger problem you run into is dry, hot foods. Because dry, hot foods maintain their kli rishon status. See, the reason that all these things happen, second utensil, third utensil, the reason they help is for the very reason, what do we do when we have a tea that's too hot to drink? Those of us who are still younger than 40. So, because people older lose their heat sensitivity, nothing is hot, right? You're laughing. Nothing is hot unless it's actually boiling in your glass, right? So what do? You take it and you pour it over into another utensil. Why does that help? Because the kli itself absorbs heat. So when you're dealing with a gush, which is a solid, where it's not enveloped by the walls of the container, it doesn't cool. It always maintains its status of a kli rishon. So the best advice is spice your food before Shabbos. There's a minig in Klal Yisrael called Tayameo Chayim Zachu. that people taste of the food before Shabbos to season it before Shabbos. One of the reasons is because seasoning on Shabbos is halachically problematic. Pepper's not cooked. Most pepper's not cooked. Not talking about cold food, it's not a problem, and in liquid, it's not a problem. On solid foods, it can be a problem. You asked something earlier. Did I address it, Mrs. Siegel? About what? Okay, that's an important issue. What about putting your oven or your crock or your hot plate on a timer and putting your food on it on Shabbos? That is permissible for things that you're allowed to put onto the hot plate. So you can put it on a timer to put dry things on it. You can't put it on the timer. Well, somebody once wanted to come up with the following, the following chiddush. He's going to put it on a timer, put a liquid thing on it when it's off, right? And then the timer will kick in. I'll be able to have hot chicken soup Shabbos morning. That doesn't work. Can't do that. You can only do it with things that you could actually put on it on Shabbos. If it has liquid in it, it's a liquid item.
Okay, but if you do put it in a colander first, and then, so now technically it's dry now, but tomorrow then it's going to leak the liquid.
If it'll leak the liquid because it's being heated then, that's not a problem. If it's going to leak the liquid because after you put it away, it gathered a half inch of liquid, and now you try warming it, then it's liquid.
Can you use pepper in chicken soup?
In a liquid, it's in a kli shein, a kli shlishi, it's much more lenient. Yes.
So can you garnish, like if you wanted to put parsley on a hot dish or something like that, you couldn't do that?
On a hot, the like dish itself is hot?
If you wanted to serve like chicken.
That could be a problem, yeah.
You could not, that would not.
It's a very good point.
Even if you
putting leafy garnish underneath hot chicken that's coming right out of a pan from the oven.
But it's already gone on to, into something and then on to, you know.
But it doesn't work for salads. It only works for liquids.
What about paprika?
I don't. You have to know what the process is. I don't know how they make it. If it's already cooked, it's not a problem. I'm going to find out how they make paprika.
I just want to turn it on. So if you take the soup to the ladle, to your bowl, so it's ready, and then you can't, still don't put pepper down.
No. Then you can use pepper. In liquids, you can. It's solids that I'm concerned about.
But can you salt your food on your plate?
You could salt. Salt's not a problem. Salt has already been cooked. You can salt your chicken soup pot, the whole pot. If you know, this happens. You taste your chicken soup and realize that you didn't put any salt in. You could salt it in the pot, provided that the pot's off the fire. Because salt has already been cooked. Might be Mikali Abishal. See, I don't know what the nature of if it's an onion, I don't remember clearly. It could be that onions are one of the things that can't be, that you could put. I don't remember.
What about sugar?
Sugar's also been cooked.
You can put
sugar straight in the pot. Compote's been cooked. Compote has been cooked. Things, my biggest concern is things which have never been cooked. Right. Right. If it's anything that has not been cooked at all, don't put it on the same plate as salads. Coleslaw is a perfect example. Have it on a separate plate. All right, I'm going to just touch upon some serious issues. I'm not going to address. I'm just going to tell you that they're serious issues. That's why we need to meet again. Grinding on Shabbos, cutting up salads, preparing egg salad, preparing vegetable salad, which involves peeling vegetables, cutting up vegetables, taking out the cores of things. These can be biblical prohibitions if not done correctly. You must come back. And I'll try answering. I will try answering some of the issues. If somebody's going to, hopefully I'll have the tape. I got to remember what some of the issues we need to clarify are. Just one, again, something that I observed once. Someone was working in the kitchen wearing a silk top. And something spritzed. They immediately ran for the sink. You cannot wash a garment on Shabbos. If it's $1,000, it's $5,000. You cannot wet. I'm just wetting it. I'm not really washing it out. It's going to set. So will the sun. You can't. You cannot clean a stain under any circumstances.
What about putting salt on a tablecloth and wine
smell?
Salt?
It helps the stain. You can't do it. No, you can put napkins there. You can't put something that's going to help clean the stain.
Well, it just sort of draws it out. It doesn't.
If it's going to help the staining issue, you can't do it.
You mentioned Hebrew clean yourself before. What, where does that apply?
It will apply in the distinction between why you could put the coffee in after you put the water, but you can't pour the water directly into the coffee. This is the most practical application. The halachic concept is that iri kli rishon cooks kedei klifa. It becomes much more relevant in issues of kashrus, where you pour hot milk onto a piece of meat. It will cook the outer layer of the meat. It still cooks to some degree. I would appreciate if there are specific questions to be addressed next month that people email me, so I can look them up and address them.
Thank you, Rabbi.
Baby? It's a big issue. Oh, yeah. Baby cereal.